I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
Welcome to Rich Text, a podcast about our cultural obsessions, like conspiracy theories about the royal family.
If you're listening today, you're already a paid subscriber to our audio and written newsletter, Rich Text. Thank you for being here. You quite literally make our work possible.
We're here today because we need to talk about our favorite amateur photographer whose work we have studied so closely, Kate Middleton.
I mean, an artist for the ages, really. And to have this deeply important breaking political news discussion, we are joined by Sarah Peterson, author of the Substack In Pursuit of Clean Countertops. If you're not already subscribed, you should be. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We're so excited to have you on to talk about this because you wrote such a great essay about Kate as the ultimate momfluencer that we want to dig into a little bit later. And I think we wanted to start by each of us kind of sharing our background with following the royal family. Sarah, have you been someone who pays attention to them normally? How long have you kind of been clocked into what they're doing?
So I had an aunt who lived in London when I was like a teenager. And she was very tall, very statuesque, had short blonde hair. And I sort of like had a Diana connection via my aunt. So I feel like that was my gateway. And then, like, when William and Kate got married, that was really fascinating. I feel like I actually had a – did I have a party? I think I had a party, and we had, like, Pimm's cups. I forgot that even happened, but I think we did that. And then I started following Elizabeth Holmes and her breakdowns of royal fashion. So I guess I'm a mild onlooker. I'm not, like – hardcore obsessed, but, you know, certainly with the recent news, I've been rapidly following it.
Yeah, you had the antenna up already.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever been a big royal watcher. It's like some of it is hard to avoid, right? Like the Will and Kate wedding, I remember, but I don't think that I watched it specifically. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem worth getting up early or being up at an odd time for it. Although Pimm's cup does make it seem worth it. Try a weird cocktail.
Totally.
But yeah, I just like haven't been paying much attention. I paid more attention to the Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, like that whole contretemps, but that might have drawn me back in a bit more. But I was like not paying attention until I started seeing more and more tweets from people who I did not associate with royal watching at all, who were like, "Where is Kate?" And I started to think, maybe I should see what's going on here.
Yep.
Yeah, I think my level of interest is kind of similar to yours, Claire. I've been like vaguely aware and like randomly tuned in when there's a big news event. I was much more invested in Meghan and Harry because I had actually met Meghan Markle in person like a few months before the news broke that she was dating Harry. Oh. So I felt like connected to that. I did watch that wedding. I did not watch Kate and Will's wedding, but I did grow up feeling very connected to Diana. My mom loved Princess Diana. I remember when she died. So there was this sort of like low level of interest that's kind of followed me around. You know, I've tuned in and out of The Crown over the years. Yeah. But Kate and Will were actually the less interesting pair to me. And so, yeah, I think all of us got much more into it, clearly, once this story really hit a fever pit. For me, once there was photoshopping involved, I was like, what's going on?
Yeah. What?
I need to know. Now I'm invested.
For sure.
Yeah. I think there's a way in which some of this is more fascinating to people who don't pay close attention, because I will read Elizabeth Holmes, you know, and she'll say it's very normal for them to not disclose much about health conditions. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess if I were paying attention to their health conditions normally, I would know that, but I don't. So when I just see that they're being vague and sketchy about Kate Middleton's diagnosis, that strikes me as unusual when maybe it's not. So I think that might be part of why it's like blowing up among like a broader audience. Yeah. Like to me, this all seems very strange. But if I were following them day to day, maybe it would seem less strange. But so this, like, let's go through the timeline a little bit. It was instructive for me to go through the timeline because I felt like I've been paying attention to it for months. And I think it was maybe a couple weeks. How
You're like, it was 4 days, but it felt like years.
Yeah. So much happens every day. It was like four different important events.
Yeah. So Claire is going to kind of take us through this timeline, and we have adapted our timeline from reporter Ellie Hall's amazingly thorough timeline published by Nieman Lab. So shout out to Ellie and hers all of her amazing reporting.
Hers is much more thorough. Go find it and read it. She has everything on there. Yes, we'll link it. But I did use it to establish some main beats here. So she sort of places the beginning of this whole affair in December of 2023. December 22nd is when it is reported by several outlets that William and Kate are planning an official trip to Italy early in the following year, 2024. This is not confirmed or denied by Kensington Palace at the time. On Christmas, she is seen in public for the last time before Kate Gate kicks off. She is making the family's like annual walk from Sandringham, their residence there, to St. Mary Magdalene Church for service. On December 28th, an anonymous Twitter account posts a video of a convoy with flashing blue lights, like an emergency vehicle, heading toward King Edward VII Hospital at 8:30 p.m. And this was from the direction of their residence. No one really notes this at the time, but it becomes relevant later, as far as I can tell. 2024, nothing happens until January 17th. Kensington Palace releases a statement announcing that Kate was admitted to the hospital January 16th for a successful planned abdominal surgery. And the statement says that she'll be in the hospital for 10 to 14 days and is, quote, unlikely to return to public duties until after Easter. The statement also says the Princess of Wales appreciates the interest this statement will generate. She hopes the public will understand her desire to maintain as much normality for her children as possible and her wish that her personal medical information remains private, which is exactly what you should say if you don't want anyone to get suspicious.
Right.
She then also announces that, or the palace announces that her upcoming engagements and appearances will be postponed, which leads many, of course, to question whether the surgery was planned. Technically, a surgery can be planned like 12 hours in advance if you're not like immediately rushed to the OR.
An appointment was made yesterday.
Right.
So yeah, that's a plan.
Well, there's this desire to be like, oh, well, it was planned, so it's not a big deal. But if it was planned for very quickly and they had to cancel her engagements, how reassuring is that? It's also reported that William has canceled engagements to be more helpful at home during her recovery. On the same day, Buckingham Palace announces that King Charles has a benign prostate condition and will be treated in hospital. And the transparency around this and throughout his time of treatment is very unfavorably juxtaposed by the public and sometimes it seems by Buckingham Palace with the apparent privacy around Kate's health. Buckingham Palace being the residence and PR apparatus of King Charles and Queen Camilla, Kensington Palace is Will and Kate's. January 18th, William is documented en route to the London Clinic, which is the first and last time he is documented visiting his wife. January 26th, Charles is admitted to the London Clinic for treatment. Queen Camilla is seen at the hospital twice that day and on both of the following days, which obviously raises an unflattering contrast. On January 29th, Kensington Palace releases a statement announcing that Kate has returned to Windsor to continue her recovery at home. This is not photographed, even though there are photographers around the hospital. On the same day, King Charles has a photo op while leaving the hospital following his stay. On February 5th, Buckingham Palace announces that King Charles has been diagnosed with cancer, though it does not specify what kind of cancer, and that he will postpone public duties. And it adds that he is sharing his diagnosis to prevent speculation. Hint, hint, guys. As Ellie points out in her timeline, the press team really seems to be jabbing at the Kensington Palace team repeatedly by drawing attention to his transparency. And later in February, the king will make several public appearances, which she runs through in her fuller timeline. Like, he'll release a personal statement of thanks for well wishes. He'll release a video of himself reading get well cards. All things that we do not get from Kate. February 7th is William's first royal event since Kate's health situation was announced. He attends an investiture ceremony at Windsor. He's presenting medals on behalf of King Charles. He is perceived by many as appearing exhausted, wobbly on his feet, ill. And this launches a lot of theorizing about why he looks so unwell. On February 9th, the Daily Mail reports the family has moved from Windsor to Sandringham. While the children are on holiday, no photos are taken. February 27th, William is scheduled to give a reading at the Windsor Memorial Service for his godfather, King Constantine of Greece, who has passed away, and he pulls out at the last minute. Kensington Palace attributes this to a personal matter, but does not specify. On the same day, it is announced that Thomas Kingston, the husband of Lady Gabriella Kingston, a royal cousin, as well as Pippa Middleton's ex. A lot of headlines described him as Pippa Middleton's ex. Pippa Middleton's ex, like, passes away, and he's literally married with a family to someone else. And it's announced that he has died. Several outlets specifically report that William's change of plans was not connected to this death. This raises a lot of eyebrows, because why would they say this? Who was asking?
Right.
Right.
And what benefit is there to denying that it's connected to this? So the conspiracy theories are really swirling at this point. They're getting more intense as more threads seem potentially linkable to what's going on. And on February 28th, a Kensington Palace spokesperson finally addresses all of the Kate conspiracy theories, telling The Sun, "We were very clear from the outset that the Princess of Wales was out until after Easter, and Kensington Palace would only be providing updates when something was significant." On March 1st, William appears to ignore a question about her health during an official event. On the same day, an inquest reveals that Thomas Kingston died by, quote, a catastrophic head injury, and a gun was found near the body. It is reported as a suicide in various outlets. On March 2nd, it is also reported that Queen Camilla will be taking a break from royal duties until March 11th for, they said, like, a sunny jaunt overseas or something. She's going on vacation. This is really striking to a lot of people because it means that essentially all four of the most senior royals are not fully engaging in their duties.
Yeah.
Yeah. On March 4th, TMZ publishes a paparazzi photo of Kate and her mother, Carol Middleton, in a car. The Daily Mail reports it was taken during the children's daily school run. Many people theorize that this is not actually Kate. Her face looks too puffy. The image is suspiciously grainy, and that must be hiding something. At the same time, UK outlets don't publish the photo, although it's published across the US, reportedly because Kensington Palace did not authorize it, and a lot of pressure was brought to bear to prevent it from being published. On March 5th, it's reported by various outlets that Kate will attend the event Trooping the Colour on June 8th, per the UK Ministry of Defence website, which will be her first confirmed post-surgery public appearance. On the same day, the palace tells reporters, actually, no, this appearance has not been confirmed. It is removed from the website. So now, no confirmed events following her recovery. On March 10th, Kensington Palace shares a photo of Kate and her three children on their official social channels for UK Mother's Day, reportedly taken by William that week. And that is when I think even people who thought that they were above conspiracy theorizing.
Me. Seen, attacked. You're telling me I've only been following this story for like less than 2 weeks.
you're watching, you're like, these people are like, it's funny, haha, where is she? Maybe she's growing out her bangs.
Right.
And then they release a photo that immediately is clocked by many people as being obviously photoshopped.
Just listened to a free preview of this week's Rich Text podcast. If you like what you heard and you want to listen to the rest of this week's podcast and our entire Rich Text back catalog, you can become a paying subscriber at clareandemma.substack.com.
If not, you can still enjoy our free weekly recommendations.
Rich Text is hosted, produced, and edited by us, Claire Fallon and Emma Gray.
You can find the written version of Rich Text at clareandemma.substack.com.
You can find us on Instagram at Claire and Emma Pod, and you can find our other podcast, Love to See It, over at Stitcher and wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on TikTok and Twitter at Love to See It Pod.
You can also find us individually at Claire E. Fallon and at Emma Lady Rose.
Thanks for listening.